Our second scripture reading is a continuation, Acts 26, verses 1, and then 4 through 23. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among them, and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have God's help to this very day, and so I stand there and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles."
Amen.
May God add his understanding to the hearing of his word this morning.
Thank you, Liz. We are nearing the end of the book of Acts, and we've been in the book of Acts for over a year. This is the early church. This is what the church went through at the very beginning. It wasn't easy, and especially for someone like Paul, it wasn't easy. Looking at what was read this morning, I want to take a look not so much just at Paul, but for those who are there to listen to the truth. How do you and I handle the truth? I think a lot of it depends on how it bears down on our life, huh? If the truth is something that has a positive effect in our life, then we handle truth pretty well, don't we? But if truth somehow has a very negative effect on our life, it bears down on our life in a way that affects it negatively, We don't handle it nearly as well. Will that truth affect us positively? Will that truth affect us negatively? Will it set me free, as John 8:32 says, for the truth shall set you free, or will it imprison me? Will it give me life, or will it give me death? You know the old statement when someone says, well, do you want to hear the good news or the bad news first? Which is it? Truth, ultimately, real truth will ultimately lead us to Jesus. So, the reception of truth. The Jews that were listening to what Paul was having to say did not do a very good job of receiving the truth. In fact, it seemed like what it did was brought anger to them. So much anger that wherever Paul would go, who was following him? Some of these angry Jews. Perhaps many of them actually were somewhat versed in the Old Testament. They were looking for a Messiah that was to come. They had missed the one who had come, and they didn't like what Paul had to share. It brought anger to many of the Jews. Because the truth that Paul was sharing, if they would listen to the truth and how it would bear down on their life, it would have to change their whole way of thinking. Their whole way of thinking. In their eyes, it wasn't supposed to play out this way. In their eyes, they had envisioned being a part of a group that is now, in that context, being oppressed by the Roman government. It wasn't any longer really the nation of Israel controlling that area. It was Rome that was controlling that area. It's not the way it was supposed to be. Even Paul himself, as we read in the text in chapter 26, he too was angry before he heard the truth. Let me read again a couple of those verses to give you an idea how Paul was. I too was convinced that I ought to do, and this is 26 verse 9, that I was going to do everything possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's just what I did. On the authority of the chief priest, he put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, he cast their vote against him. You see who Paul was? Man, he was a bad dude. Before Paul, or Saul, came to Christ and became Paul, he was a bad dude. He was out there wanting to destroy the earth of anyone who resembled Christian, because he was opposed to this idea that this Messiah came, who was Jesus. And in fact, if you look at the story, as we are going to be seeing this Good Friday and Easter season, this story is not a pretty story. It doesn't start out very good. I mean, the way we would look at someone who would be a leader, right? I mean, he's mocked. A crown of thorns is placed upon his head. He has to walk his own cross to that place called Golgotha. He had to die on a cross. The most gruesome form of punishment that the Roman government could come up with. Lots were exchanged for his clothing. The religious leaders were walking by the cross, and the Roman soldiers and the people mocking him. This doesn't look like the picture that a Jew would have thought of someone who was going to be their leader, their Messiah, their king. It looked wrong. But it's in part because they never really understood the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. What were they so angry about? Paul was previously solidly one of them. He had hoped for a Messiah. He and they knew the Old Testament scriptures. Paul was well versed in the Old Testament. Interestingly enough, if he had really allowed himself to hear and comprehend what the Old Testament had said, this Messiah was prophesied about. Jesus clearly was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Even the way he would suffer was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Paul had challenged, and they were challenging. Paul is challenging what they now believe, or what they believed to be true. Because now he has the receipts. You hear about that? Now he has the receipts. He lived amongst us. He died and he rose again. Clearly that was seen by many who were here. Almost everyone saw that he died. Everybody wants to come for the crucifixion. And there are many that witnessed afterwards. Hundreds at one time witnessed that he rose from the dead. Many had witnessed that he too had risen from the dead. He is either who he says he is, or he is a liar, or he is a lunatic. Those are the only choices that you and I have in relationship to Jesus Christ. There are no other choices. He's either who he said he was, the Son of God, God come in human flesh, Savior of the world, or he's a liar. And why would he lie himself to death on the cross? Or he's just an absolute lunatic. And even the Pharisees said, this dude is wise beyond his years. Even at 12 years old, he was confounding the priests in Jerusalem at the temple. He was confounding them with the wisdom that he had. They couldn't even keep up with him. He has the receipts. He lived amongst us. He died and he rose again. And many witnessed that he is either who he says he was and is, or he's a liar or a lunatic. And Jesus spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus. Now there's where the transformation takes place. Jesus spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus. And we get some of the narrative here that we don't have in the other narrative, a little bit more to it than what we have in some of the other narrative. But here he is when Paul is addressed on the road to Damascus, about ready to persecute some more Christians and send some of them to their death. Here is where he comes on the scene. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. You know what a goad is? Like a cattle prod. We had those on the farm sometimes. You wanted the cattle to do something they didn't want to do. Now, if you were a cow or a steer or a heifer or a bull or a calf or whatever, and you aren't going in the right direction you should be going, oftentimes you need a little prod. Now, you either had sticks that you could use or something that was like a fork, or you could use a cattle prod, the ones that were battery operated or whatever, and they give them a shock on the rear end to make sure they would start going where they're supposed to go. And if they still are going, you keep giving that prod and keep giving them that prod, and it creates a little bit of pain. Now, some of you think that's probably a little bit cruel, but sometimes you needed to get them where they needed to go. Maybe they needed to see a vet. But whatever the case was, it was a prod, a goad. And here Paul was going against the goads. God was encouraging to move in the right direction, and Paul was refusing to do so. And now, finally, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And Saul finally says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Now get up. In essence, he says, get up and now do what I'm asking you to do. Paul, his life was finally transformed. But he spent a lot of time previous to that kicking against the goads. To resist only brings pain to the one being goaded. Paul could not resist any longer. He could not resist any longer. And he would spend the rest of his life sharing the truth that he had spent all of his life previous resisting. Sometimes I wonder, why did Paul have to suffer the way he did? And yet he spent the first part of his life causing suffering for those who wanted to trust in the Lord and Savior. I don't know why Paul was chosen for such a difficult task, because he had to go through a lot. But Paul, when he understood what he had received, he would say on countless different occasions, oftentimes when he was in prison, you know, things like, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I rejoice in these sufferings. This was Paul. This is what Paul would say, because he knew what it was ultimately pointing to. And he wanted others to know, he's the answer. You all are suffering and don't even know it. He's the answer to your suffering. And he's the one who can bring about life. Don't resist like I did, Paul saying that. Don't resist like I did. For years I thought I had it right. But then the truth was laid out for me, and I received it. I look in the world today, and I see the same kind of thing going on. A resistance to the truth. Sometimes we don't even know what the truth is. I think we live in a world where a lot of lies have been thrown out at us. A lot of untruths have been shared. And we find ourselves wondering, is this true or is this true? And a lot of times people are throwing out lies just to make sure that they can keep a country divided. We fall for those kinds of divisive things. We need to know the truth. We need to know the truth, because the truth is what ultimately is going to set us free. We hear day after day after day in newscasts and other things that we're hearing about fraud and waste and deception and lies and criminal activity and secrets and downright evil and horrible things that are happening. It causes sometimes anger to rise. And sometimes people don't even know where to direct that anger. And I want to encourage us to recognize God is the holder of truth. Trust him as we go through our lives. And the truth will ultimately expose the evil. Know that. Rest in that. And know that the truth will ultimately set you and I free. Stop spending so much time arguing with each other and just seek the truth. Not the truth you want, but the truth that is. And it'll be shown. God will show it. It is true that the truth can hurt, like the Jews were being told from Saul, who later became Paul. When he shared the truth with them, it hurt and it made them angry. But it's also true that truth can make the blind see, the deaf hear, and the mute speak. So I hope you and I want to hear the truth. And the truth of the gospel is clear. Paul shares that truth of the gospel with you and with me. And with everything that's going on in the world today, that's the one thing that you can hold as an anchor. It is an anchor. An anchor that will never move. Because it's God's truth. And as you cling to God's truth, ask God to reveal all other truth to you as well. And over time, God will do that. Because I believe that God is ultimately in control. No human is in control. God's in control. And I trust him. Because he's my daddy. And he loves me and he loves you so much. And he loves those in the world, even those who are doing stupid and harmful things. He loves them too. And so I want to trust my daddy that ultimately His will be done. And I can trust Him with it. Do you and I want to speak the truth? I hope we do, because the truth leads us to Jesus. The truth brings freedom. The truth brings release from the prison of our own hearts. The truth honors God. The truth saves. And the truth can cause the angry to be transformed. Why do we have to be so angry with each other? We may be in disagreement, but that's okay. Why do we have to be angry with each other? Because God is a God of love, and God is a God of transforming. And the work of truth is God's work. So I can tell you with utmost confidence, no matter what you feel about what's going on in the world today, that God does have it. That God is truth. And we can trust Him. So trust Him that He is working. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. Let's pray. God, You worked in Saul, who was angry at Christians. His name was changed to Paul because he became one of those he persecuted. You transformed him. And God, I pray in the world we live in today that You would be a God who would bring about transformation. God, we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. We live in a world sometimes where it's hard to know what the truth is. We don't even know what the news is sharing with us, whether it's true or not true. But we know Your truth. So help us to trust You completely and wholly. And as we love You because You first loved us, help us to do the same with others who we may agree or disagree with. But help us to seek truth. Your word is truth. It is the only anchor that lasts every storm. It's the only anchor that weathers every war. It is the only anchor that has stood the test of time. So may that be our anchor and filter everything through that anchor found in Your word, Jesus Christ. Amen.